For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hey, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello, everybody. Annyeong.
Hola.
Hi, welcome to Let's Talk Hoya podcast.
Hello, hello. So, fall and the colder season will soon be upon us. Not so much like for us here in Arizona, but for most of you folk who are in like normal climate areas. Unless you're in Australia, then something else is happening. But for those of you who have the winter months and the fall months that are coming, I feel like we get a lot of questions from listeners during that time of like, what do I do with my plants? Like, this is happening, that's happening. So I guess a little episode of how to best plan for those colder seasons and what to expect if you're a new plant parent and just our experiences and things of that nature. So if you want some, I wouldn't say like pro tip, but you know, some tips and tricks, this is the episode for you.
None of us grow any of our actual plants for like Hoya and stuff outside, mm-hmm. right? You guys don't have any outside?
No.
No.
Would come in and go
no.
out?
No, but some people do. So I imagine.
Because I was just thinking like, well, I think I used to take plants outside, but the first time I did here.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a thing that we can do here. There's plenty of people who are in more like temperate climates that do that. We just can't really offer any advice because it's not something that we do. So recommendation is, you know, find someone on Instagram, YouTube or something that does that, that maybe has some know-how on it and, yeah. you know, give them a listen. But I feel like generally with like plants, like every time you go through a different season, like the big ones are like pests, mm-hmm. watering, lighting, but also like ordering plants changes. So like those types of things I feel like are more what we'll kind of chat about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What should we do? Should we dive first into like ordering plants and stuff and then we can go into more like growing and things like that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So ordering plants. How is it for you guys during this time of year?
After you said that, I'm like sitting here thinking, when's the last time I ordered a plant?
I know.
And I honestly can't even think about it.
Past experience.
I currently am on a plant ban. So I have not ordered any, but when I would order plants, these are actually the sweet spots. Again, this is a person who lives in Arizona. So I'm a little bit excited about the weather cooling down so that I can order some plants. Because normally when I was buying, I would restrict to only buying either in person or only shipping from California because I know it'll get here fast enough. But other than that, if I was ordering plants, I would be excited to be able to buy from like Florida or like collectors in the East Coast because I know that my plants aren't going to melt in the mail.
Yeah. This is like a great time, like weather wise. I feel like once you hit like the highs of 90 to 80s to the lows of like 60s, plants just do so much better in shipping and transit and things like that. So if that's like your weather right now, or if you're like getting into that weather, like it's a great time to buy plants. They just do way better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But during the winter time is when it's definitely more harsh and harder.
Yeah. Especially if you're somewhere where it gets below freezing. So the insulation is a big help. I don't know. I still am just a huge proponent if you can to just either get a P.O. box or have it delivered to your work.
Mm-hmm.
Just anywhere where it won't be sitting outside.
My friend recently mailed me a plant, a cutting of her Astralis Lisa. She lives in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. She mailed me a cutting of hers.
Which is an outdoor bloomed, plant, right?
That's an outdoor bloomed, plant.
Yeah.
And my girl put it in a plastic bag full of wet paper towels.
Oh.
And I was just like, this poor. And like the stuffing around it was more plastic bags and like a plastic tablecloth. And I was just like, you are the sweetest person in the world for doing this for me, but this poor plant, and you know what? That plant is still alive.
Okay, but first, did you know the plant was coming?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so she couldn't
she
have
that. She wanted
to
surprise me for my birthday.
Oh, that's, I was going to be like, well, you should have told her. What?
but even if I had known, I probably wouldn't have told her because I'd have been afraid, like, she'd be like, oh, this is too complicated. Never mind.
It would have almost just been better off, like, if it's a cutting, just throw it in the box and send it out.
Yeah. Especially like in our, it was like boiling hot.
But yes. You know what? Hey, like, she tried.
Yeah.
MVP.
So that would not be happening if we were sending plants in the fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still don't recommend shipping plants in plastic bags.
Yeah. Yikes. I got a Hoya order once that was like that. And everything was rotted though. Not fun.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, wintertime is definitely trickier for receiving plants and things like that. I mean, honestly, if you get insulation, usually all goes well. I think we've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's actively snowing, or even if you know within the next 5 days, because sometimes delays happen because if it's snowing in other places and things like that. So even if it might go through an area that it's snowing, or if you know it's going to be snowing within the next 5 days, it's just, you know, it's just best not to risk it. Like, you're spending money and everything, and it's just not fair to you. I honestly feel like it's not fair to the seller. I feel like it's just bad news for everybody. So
maybe this is a sign that we need to, if you do live in places that might weirdly get cold, make a cold plan for your plants. Like, what do people use to, like, heating pads, right? Hot pads?
For what?
Heat mats to like keep their plants in the colder areas.
Heat mats are controversial. I don't know that I personally would use a heat mat. So I'm not going to recommend it. Yeah. But because the thing about heat mats is I've seen people that use them and then they like put into their cabinet and then it like bakes everything, or the temperature is not consistent. Probably because of quality control or whatever that may be. You know, people are getting this from Amazon. And so it just feels like a lot of trust to put into a $15 product.
Yeah.
Is how I feel about it.
So I think I kind of agree with you for the heat mats. But at the same time, like, our shelves kind of act as a heat mat.
That's true. But it's more like a consistent, stable temperature. That does help, though. Like, the lights definitely do help.
And
a heat mat, I'm sure it can help. It's just...
So what would you, Lydia, do if you lived somewhere where it gets negative 10 degrees in the winter?
Turn the heater on?
Oh, okay. I guess because I don't ever use the heater. That was not a concept for me.
Do you think people are just out there just like...
Raw dog in their, the winter, yeah.
In their parkas, just...
My bad. I was like, so what is your magical solution, Lydia?
I was like, I don't know why this is so serious. Why is this such a serious topic?
Wait. The scenario was it's a cold vortex.
And the power's out.
The power is out.
But how are you going to use a heat mat if the power is out?
Solar energy?
But if you had solar energy, wouldn't you just use your heater?
Okay, if I had solar energy... I don't think it could light the whole house. Yeah. It would just be...
So you're going to use your stored energy for a heat mat for your plants?
If I love them enough, yeah. Cause like we could just like cuddle and be warm. I can't cuddle my plants and warm them up. You know what I would do? I would light a bunch of candles and put them like in between the plants.
Burns the house down.
Yeah, everything's on fire.
Yeah. Bro.
Should we go to lighting?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think my tips for the fall, winter for houseplant people is probably right now for the Northern Hemisphere when you're kind of getting those temperatures where it's feeling like fall. Probably the best time to go and make sure that your windows are clean. I always tell people that, and I try to do that at least twice a year, but this is usually the time where I do it, where I wipe them down inside and out. It really does make a huge difference because dust on your windows will refract the light and your plants won't get that. So now's the time to try that. But then I think this year I'm going to kind of do what Doug did.
Oh, or what Doug does
to force his plants to bloom mm-hmm. is I think I'm going to start changing the amount of time my grow lights are on weekly, starting probably now-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Like cut off 5 minutes each week until it's down to 2 hours less.
So that you're mimicking that natural light cycle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because I want to try it. Because this is usually the time where we get a lot of our cool weather bloomers mm-hmm. happening.
I was about to say, fall, winter already comes with a lot of
mm-hmm.
new blooms.
But since none of my plants are really in like real lighting, like sunlight. I mean, they are and they aren't. But like these are all under grow lights. Mm-hmm. Those are under grow lights. Yeah. So we'll just force the grow lights to be the sun, I guess. Mm. But okay. I'm excited to see that. I hope I get some things blooming that haven't bloomed before.
Mm-hmm.
But other than like cleaning the windows and stuff, I don't really change lighting. Like, but I do remember being in the Midwest and how drastic it was and how important it was for lighting because the days of the sunlight were just few and far between. Like it really was like 3:30 p.m. and it's getting dark. So, but thankfully we don't have to deal with that too bad. but I don't do anything special, even though like the sun position changes because I think direct sun in the winter comes more into my north window
mm-hmm.
than it does my south window. And so a lot of the bedroom plants start to get like direct sun, but I don't do anything. They manage.
Yeah. I don't make any changes. At all. Last year, though, I did do the whole, like, after we had the episode with Doug, I did start, you know, cutting some time, and then I added it back for the summer. So I think I'll do that again. I mean, it can be bad, you know, like, it's natural for plants to go through, like, those cycles as time changes. So I think I'll probably do just a little bit of that, and also, you know, just doing what Adam always does, because it works. No. But yeah, like literally the lifesaver though of trying to do that is those smart plugs.
Oh God. Yes.
If you are still using like an analog plug or anything, do yourself a favor, get yourself an early Christmas present or a holiday present or a gift to yourself.
Which Lydia is really fond of.
And hop on Amazon or whatever your preferred place is. Hit up our links
in the description.
Literally, the smart plugs make such a huge difference. It makes it so easy because it's like on an app. And then you can just set the times. You can adjust the times. It does it all for you. Now this is starting to feel like an ad for like no product, but...
No, but it is true. Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing. Do it only if you're a person who doesn't change their Wi-Fi information a lot, because it is so annoying to me. Every time that I change my Wi-Fi up, I have to go through and re-like hook up the plugs to the
girl. Why are you changing your Wi-Fi that often?
Because
like if you get a new provider?
Well, because I forget my passwords a lot. So then I have to change them.
So changing your Wi-Fi, this is your problem for forgetting your Wi-Fi password.
It's a good hot habit to change your Wi-Fi password like at least once a year.
I never do. No.
Because that's a really easy way for people to hack you. You know that, right?
Let them hack. Come at me, bro. Yeah, you're right, though. But no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't change that though, because it would make you have to change literally everything you have connected.
Yeah,
that's like getting a new debit card number.
Had to do it like 3 times this year, and half of me has been like, no.
Remember that time that you had me move light bulbs because they were connected to your Wi-Fi and the other ones weren't?
Yeah. But see, now I can turn them off and on in my room. And I can't do that in mom's room because those aren't hooked up to the Wi-Fi. So.
The smart plugs are a lifesaver. 100%. I don't know how people are functioning without them. I don't know how Doug functioned without them for so long. But anyway.
Yeah. Get on that train. Makes a huge difference. Give yourself a gift that keeps on giving. Exactly. Really had to end on that note to make it really seem like an ad or a career. Yeah. Every kiss begins a kiss.
I'm pretty sure we can't say that on the show. They're going to sue us for
copyright infringement.
Singing their jingle.
Like they would even listen.
We all get a notice.
About the same.
Cease and desist.
You'd be surprised who the number one company to do that to people is.
Wait, who?
Disney.
Oh.
So,
yeah. They shut down like all the Etsy shops and everything.
I never underestimate copyright infringement.
Yeah.
That's like selling a product, though. We literally just gave them a free advertisement right now. Yeah.
And that is on advertising because we have that jingle in our head. Good on you, Kay.
Good advertisement.
I'll never forget that.
Good advertisement. Anyway.
Pick me up a piece of that. Can't. But we need more jingles.
Give me a break.
This is going into Patreon territory and I'll stop after this. But I don't know if it's because we don't see commercials a lot, but there's not jingles for like things anymore.
We should make a Let's Talk Hoyo one.
Yeah. You know, like. But anyway, just a random
thought. Your attention span could never handle a commercial enough for you to learn a jingle.
I know. Well, no, I know all the jingles from when I was younger.
Because you didn't have TikTok rotting your attention span.
I know. My attention span is bad.
I also know if I ever need a lawyer, you know who I'm calling?
Ruffy.
No, Lerner and Rowe is the way to call. Call 977-1900.
I still remember. Anyway, never mind. What's next about the fall?
Pests?
Mealies.
Pests really come through in the winter with like the heaters kicked up, the air gets dry. Mm-hmm. Always happens every winter. It's inevitable. Nothing to be scared about, but it happens. What is something that you guys have been through in past winters, past seasons?
Mealies for days. Literally, I start seeing the spider webs and it triggers me.
Mealies? Spider webs?
Isn't that what's the one with the spider webs?
Spider mites?
Oh, that's what I meant.
You want to read?
Spider mites for days. I just see the spider webs and I'm triggered. Wow. Oh, my bad. Oh my God, spider mites for days. I literally like see the webs and I'm immediately triggered.
Oh man.
I cannot handle spider mites.
Much wow.
Spider mites were in the dry winter in the Midwest. I kind of feel like we see those in the summer here, obviously, because that's drier than our winter. We kind of have, it gets more humid in our winter. But spider mites are a big one. Those suckers love that dry heat.
I feel like my thin leaf Hoya, I always have to like keep a second eye on them because during the winter time, for some reason, spider mites always seem to like come up out of nowhere if you're not being cautious about it. So like, especially my thin leaf Hoya, like every watering I'll go through and give them like a spray down, check the back of all the leaves because I don't know, they're just kind of a magnet for them during the winter time. It feels like.
Yeah, they are. And this is where pest management schedule really helps. And I know it's not the most fun thing to do, but once you kind of get a routine, it's not as hard as you think it would be. Mm-hmm. And if you're regularly, at least like, cause how Lydia and I have done it is like at least once a month, all of my plants get a drench, a spray down, a washing. And people always comment, they're like, well, how are your leaves so shiny? And I was like, I'm literally not doing anything other than like, I wash all my plants with water at least once a month. And that's that. But it really does help.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like my plan of action, because, you know, Adam and I, now we do like a rotation, right? So like I have 4 different sections of my plants, and each week one of those sections gets, you know, like the rinse and what is it?
The drench.
Yeah. Like everything, the whole thing. And so the whole thing.
Spa treatment.
Mm-hmm. So then, you know, with that is also scoping. And so now adding on to that will just be like full inspection, like under the leaves and everything, and making sure that I don't see like any other pests or just being, you know, really weary of things like that. And honestly, I feel like during the wintertime, that's not going to feel as cumbersome because my plants, I only have to water them every 2 weeks just because now it's cooler. They're not drying out as fast. And so, you know, I won't have to give them like as much watering attention. So then that makes me feel like, okay, well, then I can at least make sure I can do my pest prevention, which is, you know, doing the scope, like checking underneath foliage, stems, everything, making sure that I don't actually see anything. And then also I feel like this is a great time to also incorporate any kind of like beneficial insects. Like if you are really worried and, you know, if your care already feels overwhelming right now, if you have like the ability, you know, financially to be able to do that, then I would say that's probably a great thing to do. And if you're like, well, I don't know, you know, what kind of beneficials I'm supposed to get, things of that nature. Episode 49, we did with Jamie of DMV Beneficials, went over all of the different kinds.
Oh, it's such of a good episode.
It's a really, really good episode and very, very applicable right now with the season changing and those things coming into factor. So if you want something a little bit more like hands off, you want a preventative, then I would say that's a good route to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I haven't scoped my plants in a very long time because I'm riding the ignorance is bliss train.
I was about to say, hard same.
But ignorance is bliss is like wildfire.
It is. I agree. But I am still doing pest management mm-hmm. on everything. And part of me was like, okay, I'm going to check them again in 6 months and we'll see if all of my efforts are worth it or have been worth it.
Because you stay stressed when you are actively scoping and finding.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's I think that's a trauma response. I don't know. But like, if you see a problem, or me personally, if I see a problem, which a pest is a problem, I want it to be handled immediately. Mm. And I get stressed because it's like, well, it needs to be done. And I think a lot of people feel that way too. Like if you find something that's wrong, you want to get it fixed.
Yeah, and like that, like I have to like put everything down.
For me. But so it's just that's the thing.
Yeah.
And I've gotten better. I feel like I've gotten better because for a long time all of my Hoya existed and grew beautifully while having flat mites. So, you know, even if there's a little there, it's not the end.
Okay, but the other thing outside of pests is that there's sometimes some other like wonky little things that can happen, like fungal type of a things with a weather change. And so kind of want to talk about that too.
Because
I feel like, especially once the weather gets cooler, most Hoya do like perfectly fine, no issues. But last year, oh, which plant of it was mine? There was a plant And my plants are all in my office, and it's the front of my house where all the walls are like basically exposed. Like they don't really like share walls with anything. So it gets cool, like a lot colder in there than the rest of my house. And the, like the thermostat is on like the wall around, which is like warmer. So it's always just a little bit cooler in that room. And I remember the first year I moved into that house, I have a little space heater and I would turn the space heater on and keep it on just like a super low setting just to bring the temperature up a little bit. And last year I got lazy about it and I didn't do it. And there was one plant that did not like that, like literally dropped all of its leaves. Oh, I remember. It was the Hoya semonaniana.
Semonaniana?
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
Which is a thin-leaved Hoya and the bells, oh, well, like the flowers.
Therein lies your issue. I'm just kidding.
They're like these like cute little like bulb-like type of flowers. Really, really cute. That one, the leaves got like these like brown little spots on it, yellowed, all of them fell off.
And the that's all other cold one, reaction?
From the wow. cold. Another Hoya that did that last year though was my Ricardo, which was really surprising because that one is like a bigger, thicker leaved Hoya, but did the exact same thing. Got all of these like weird brown spots and then the leaf turned yellow and they fell off. And that happened like this one week where it was super cold here and I should have been more mindful and turned on the space heater or something like that. So if you have plants that you feel like are generally a little bit more sensitive, I would say like if you have a safe heating element that you can turn on to help them out a little bit, or put them in like a different room where it is a little bit warmer, something can sometimes be helpful. But those are the two that happened to me last year. All of my other plants did fine though. It was just those two that really struggled, and then they bounced back again this year with like the spring, summer and everything. So now I'm just going to be a little bit more mindful, probably.
A little more
pull
demure.
Them into a different, yeah. Very mindful. Very demure. You see how I'm moving my plants from a colder spot of the room to a warmer spot?
That's going to be so over by the time this episode comes out.
But that's anyway. Probably a good point too. If you're in a place that's getting cold mm-hmm. and you have plants up against your window, now is the yes. time to kind of pull those back. Until it's too late. You know, you don't want it to be the too late situation. So I would pull those off the window a little bit because windows are always drafty.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like I've seen posts of people, happens every year, where their plant is like touching the window and then the next day comes around and cold damage because the window's cold.
I've definitely had that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's cold damage look like? Is it like that brown-ish kind of like?
Yeah, it usually gets like brown. Melty. It just, yeah, like the brown, it like all kind of depends. Like sometimes it has like the brown spots. Sometimes it if it's like snowing, say, and the leaf is like touching the window, if that window is really cold, I mean, it could freeze. Yeah. And then as it melts, it just gets translucent and mushy and. It just depends on what kind of damage is happening, but definitely the leaves just don't look the same anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to give you guys an idea, like our cold does get pretty cold, like 30s, 20s at night. That's when you're going to start seeing the cold damage. And that was my thought from earlier. I wanted to put a number to the cold because I feel like people think it never gets cold here, but it's only for like 2 to 3 weeks, but we do hit.
Yeah, we 20s, get below 30s. Freezing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as soon as it hits under 50 degrees, that's a pretty drastic change, and that's pretty cold, yeah. For plants, you know. I mean, for us too, as Arizonans, but like, especially our plants, yeah. So.
Oh, I'm so excited about the fall. Layers.
Yeah.
Baggy clothes.
And no. then all the decorations.
The only thing I'm excited about now this year is wearing my new Disneyland sweater because it's so cozy.
That's right.
See, always something to look forward to. Alrighty. And then should we go over fertilizing? This one I feel like we've talked about before, but I feel like now we have so many episodes, like people kind of forget what we've talked about. And so we're just kind of.
For sure, because they're always in our DMs asking what we use as a fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like you guys changed it up on me since last time, and I didn't know that you no longer use Foliage Pro.
Nope. Always has been the case.
I use Foliage Pro for my soil plants, but then I ran out of it, and I just haven't got it again.
So see? Not the case.
But almost change. All of our plants, we just use the general hydroponics. That's always been the case.
Yeah. See, but I felt like
since
for a long time.
Podcast started.
I felt like for a long time it was Foliage Pro and 3-2-1.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
I never
have. I'm going to have to go back to
this. I think there's a post on our, like, of all of the different things, and that Foliage Pro was in that post because I had used it, and people do use that as like a passive hydro nutrient, but
that's the only nutrient I ever used because I thought that's what you guys were using. And then she was like, oh, we use the general hydroponics 3-2-1. And I was like,
see, Jesse, no, literally the first care episode, we talk about general hydroponics. The updated care episode, we talk about general hydroponics. Mm. Right now, we are talking about general hydroponics. It is never,
you were probably farming.
Never changed.
No,
never
I didn't
changed.
Play township then.
No, she just wasn't listening. That's what it was. She just wasn't listening.
No, but I think it's fine. Foliage Pro is fine. People use it.
I mean, that's the nutrient I use in my plants. All dead, and if they die, it's not because of the nutrients.
Yeah, I do like that it has more of like the micro macronutrients and that kind of stuff. But I know that a lot of people kind of say like stop fertilizing your plants in the winter, and I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. Everything stays the same year round for me.
Everything still is growing. There's still blooms coming in. Like, there's still things happening.
Yeah, like these.
And so
these bitches don't know it's winter. They still have sun.
Yeah, I still continue fertilizing year round. We do not stop fertilizing over here at LTH. So,
now if you lived somewhere where the winter was more drastic, let's say northern United States, where it got cold and stayed cold for a long time. Do you feel like you would cut your fertilizer?
I think I would have to like experience it and I would have to see what my plants are doing because like for me, like here during the wintertime, they're still active. Like I still get new growth. I'm getting, you know, different plants are blooming now in the wintertime. So I feel like they still need that support through the fertilizer. And so because I'm actively still seeing that they're still doing things and they're not in this like dormancy that people say, because, you know, that's what a lot of people say, especially when you first get into plants, it's like wintertime is dormancy. Your plants go into dormancy. They're not growing, so don't feed them. But my plants are still actively doing stuff. And maybe it is attributed to like the weather that we have here. So I think it'll just have to depend on like what is it that I'm seeing in a different climate. Maybe if I live somewhere that was colder and my plants weren't actively like growing as much, I think I would maybe just pull back a little bit on the fertilizer and then still give consistent like blooming fertilizer to the plants that I know bloom in the winter. And I want to see those blooms like Thompsonii, winter bloomer, you know? And so maybe like little adjustments. So I think, you know, it's fair to say, you know, do what works for your collection. If you feel like, oh, you know, my plants definitely aren't, you know, they're still growing, but they're not as active as they were like in the summertime. I mean, I would even say it's safe to, you know, you can pull back a little bit on your fertilizing and do kind of what makes sense for you. Since this is always, you know, from our experience. So
Yeah,
everything's trial and error. And like I think that in the plant community and just the plant world in general, for years it's like some of these statements have just continued to be like parroted from other people, like, oh, in the winter, don't fertilize. And that might have been the case. And it also depends on like how you're caring for your plants, I think. Like, we're giving our plants sufficient light the whole year. They're not just getting the sunlight. So they don't really know. They're not outside in the elements. They're not only getting the light from the windows. But if you do have a situation where your plants are only getting light from the windows and daylight is cut like drastically, then maybe that does matter. But I just have never really followed that rule. But I used to be so anxious about fertilizer burn. Because that was the big thing that like,
and I
was
like, your plant's going to die. The foliage is going to fall off.
All of these things. I don't know if I've ever seen fertilizer burn.
Yeah.
But maybe I have.
Me neither.
It was probably just, you know, underneath the crusty non-humidity burn.
But yeah,
year round fertilizing.
Yep. That's what we do.
Feeding.
Well, we should make that a shirt. Fertilize them year round.
I like seeing how people like use the Hoyas and their plants to kind of like decorate for the holidays, like all the holidays that are coming up. Not one specific holiday, but like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see that this year.
I want to get little mini ornaments and put those on like my circle trellises. Like they're like little wreaths.
That'd be so cute.
So then you'd have the Hoyas, but then you'd have like little Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
I don't That'd know.
So it's going to be like an explosion.
A little DIY.
Yeah. I bought a like pack of like 100 little mushrooms that I was going to hot glue little toothpicks to and to stick into my plants, but I haven't gotten past the I bought the mushrooms.
You know, see, that's the shit I love doing. Mindless tasks like that. Like, invite me over. Let's put a movie on. And I will...
you will stick glue stick...
I will ram your mushroom.
Into my mushroom.
Okay. Yeah, I would.
Cute.
That'd be fun.
Now, if you're over, you're, like, cleaning the roof, cleaning the gutters, cleaning the... You're doing the man work.
Yeah,
because
Jesse always is like, no, I don't need anything except can you get the 14-foot ladder and reach all the way to my ceiling and just like move that one little thing like real quick. And that's it, I promise. And then then Adam goes into the garage. Why can't you bring the ladder? Oh, dang, that's really heavy.
Before we finish our episode today, something non-plant related, but what excites you most about fall treats? Now we're talking coffee, we're talking pumpkin spice latte, we're talking peanut candy corn mix. What is it?
Champurrado. It's like a drink that we make in Mexico. It's really good, but most places only make it in the winter. And I'm so excited.
Well, I'm gonna need to try that this year. I don't think I've had it. No, you gave it to us once. Yeah,
I gave you guys some once.
Can we do treats and food?
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I was trying to hide a yawn.
Oh.
And treats and food. I mean, I think that those are the same thing.
Yeah, go fatty.
Okay, well, a peppermint mocha.
I just
don't know what it is.
That's not fall.
I thought you said winter.
I'm thinking fall.
No, I'm thinking fall. Winter.
Okay, well, that's fine. We can do winter.
Oh. No, because then we can do winter for our winter episode.
Okay, well, so for fall. I was all excited.
Well, let's nip that in the bud and move on.
Fall is everything pumpkin, though.
Yeah.
Everything, anything pumpkin in my mouth.
Yeah. Anything?
Anything
means anything. Anyway.
And you got a new vinyl, Charlie Brown, The Great Pumpkin.
I had that one last year.
The pumpkin shape.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't come in until after.
Yeah.
So I have that one. I have the, it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. That one, the Thanksgiving one, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't really asking for a list of your vinyls.
I was about to say. I didn't know we were going to get an entire repertoire.
Oh.
Well, pumpkin is my favorite.
Yeah, we were talking about food.
Yeah. Okay. So, well,
but,
maybe.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. Pumpkin spice latte, always. A good apple cider, always. Fall, once the weather cools down here is when I start to like love baking. So like pumpkin cookies, pumpkin bread.
I don't think I've ever gotten pumpkin cookies or pumpkin bread for you.
You have gotten both from me last year.
I got banana nut.
No, you got pumpkin bread. I literally made 3 loaves of pumpkin bread. I drove one here to Adam and I brought one to you.
Oh, I remember.
And I made pumpkin cookies too.
Yeah, I hid it in my house, so only I ate it. I do remember. Okay, forgiven. But this year make it 2. Thanks. So that one I share and one I keep for me.
You swear. Thanks. So yeah, anything pumpkin this time of year.
Okay.
Like already thinking about it just makes me feel like fall.
My favorite fall treat is the mix of candy corn and peanuts.
Mm.
And I don't like candy corn. Like it's not my favorite treat.
That is true.
I will not eat it by itself, but in a mix with peanuts, I will mess with that all day long.
That is literally, meeting you was the first time I ever had that.
Really?
See? Yeah. Yeah. It was the first time. I remember, when was it? We were doing something. I invited you over and you brought that as a snack. And we were like,
were we making the spring rolls at your house?
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was the spring rolls. And then you had brought that as a treat. And we're like, what is this? And it's like a Babe Ruth. It literally tastes mm-hmm. like a deconstructed Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
I love Babe Ruths.
But it doesn't have the stickiness of the Babe Ruth, which caramel. Is really nice. Mm-hmm.
And Jessie had it. Remember, I had a little bag and she had it just sitting on her counter for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I still would have eaten that. It's decorative. That's the thing. Like, I don't eat.
Yeah, you're not us.
I'm not a sweets. I'm not a snacker.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my favorite. I do love also everything pumpkin.
Pumpkin and bananas.
And stuffing. I just love stuffing.
Pumpkin pie.
Stuffing.
My mother-in-law makes delicious pumpkin pie.
My favorite.
This is why I think I need to take you back to Illinois because Morton, sorry, put a pin in that because I'm not stopping. Morton, Illinois has the pumpkin festival because the Libby factory is there.
Need.
And every year it happens now. And it's like pumpkin ice cream, pumpkin donuts, pumpkin chili, pumpkin hot. Like there's, it's apple literally cider pumpkin donuts? Everything. No, but it's pumpkin donuts. Apple cider donuts are good though. Anyway, the pumpkin festival, Morton, Illinois.
I will come it to is your a pumpkin good time. Festival.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good time.
It's like a carnival with lots of pumpkin.
I mean, okay.
But something that I always look forward to is when we do our pie making.
Oh.
That's, oh, like that's a thing? That's we're going to keep doing that?
That's a yearly thing now. Okay. We're going to keep up with it. We're always going to do pie making.
See, but I hate pie making, but I love eating pies. Actually, I don't hate pie making. I like the process if you do it.
And I'm about just to say, there. I like what I'll we've do been doing, which is Lydia's been doing it.
I was going to say, I really just want you to show up and show I up. Make all the pies. And then Jesse mixes one little can and says, look what I made. I
and
made
then I
that.
Post it I on Instagram this. Like I made it all myself.
Yeah, that's good.
I do like that.
Okay, that's it. Hit us up on Instagram. Give us your fall, winter tips, tricks.
Happy fall, y'all.
Happy fall.
It is not going to be fall when this thing comes out.
Yeah, it is going to be October.
Oh, maybe.
Ooh. Anywho, fall for the Northern Hemisphere. I have to forget. I forget that there's like people out there who listen to us.
Yeah.
All over the world.
What would it be? Like happy spring for them?
Yeah.
We Dang. Appreciate you, non this hemisphere people. We do.
Yes.
This can be bookmarked for whenever it is fall happens for you.
For yeah. March for you.
Yes.
But yes. We're selfish, so we're doing these episodes on our schedule.
Much apologies.
But anyway, hit us up on Instagram. Let us know your fall tips and tricks.
And your favorites.
Share it with everyone because the more you know.
The more you know.
Anyway, you can find us on Instagram at let's.talkhoya, but you can also find us individually. My Instagram is at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at perritos y plants. Adios.
Año.
Bye.
Interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.